Thank you. As you mentioned, my name is Pamela Guevara. I'm currently a PhD student at the University of South Florida in the Department of Community and Family Health. And this was an assessment that we did last fall to assess the experience of Florida Neonatal Intensive Care Unit Centers, which will be referred to as NCATFI, participating in the Neonatal Catheter-Associated Bloodstream Infection Project. And I worked with Dr. Linda Detman from the Florida Perinatal Quality Collaborative at the Lawton and Rhea Child Center at USF. So I'd like to state that I have no relationships to disclose. So as a little bit of background, before I get into the assessment of the project, catheter-associated bloodstream infections are a significant contributor to morbidity and mortality for infants receiving neonatal intensive care unit care. So I'll be referring to that as NICU as well, but it's a significant problem for public health as it is to avoid the infections of these infants receiving NICU care because these babies are getting central lines to receive medication, and in terms of following the correct protocol, they're trying to reduce these infections for these babies. And also as background, there's data that's been reported through CDC's National Healthcare Safety Network, and this is a voluntary network that they're going and assessing and putting in the information, but there's been no comprehensive statewide plans for infection reduction. So for the methods of following a checklist or a specific protocol for the NICU staff, there hasn't been anything statewide or national. And you can see that this is a public health problem as the national collaboratives combined had a baseline of 2.4 infections per 1,000 line days. For the infants that are within the NICUs, the central lines, they're receiving infections for the amount of days that they're receiving the central lines. And Florida contributes a lot to this because for the baseline rate in Florida from the National Healthcare Safety Network, the data has reported that 2.96 infections per 1,000 line days were contributed from Florida alone. And these are from the participating hospitals from the 9 original states that were on the NCAPSI project. So the Neonatal Catheter-Associated Bloodstream Infection Project is a collaborative of NICU centers within Florida and other states around the nation, but we'll be focusing on the 16 counties that had in Florida. And they're working to reduce infections in neonates by following a checklist protocol on line insertion and maintenance. So what we did is it's a NICU team that was compiled to collect the data about following the protocol and the different checklists of trying to reduce the infections in the neonates that are right now in the NICU centers. And what they do is they're trying to follow data on the different insertion and maintenance of the central lines that induce the medication for these babies. And there's certain things that they're trying to follow that's easy to reduce the infections in these babies, like washing their hands and putting gloves on. So these little things that they can follow as a protocol and as a checklist will reduce the infections in the babies. And we did start with 9 states nationwide, and now we have increased to 13 states. But when this assessment was created, it was last fall, and we did it with the 9 original states that were part of the project. So for the Neonatal Catheter-Associated Bloodstream Infection Project, it is for them to follow quality improvement techniques. So it's to follow the spread and standardize of the best evidence practices of proper insertion techniques and maintenance procedures of central lines in the infants that are in the NICU care. And what we did is we had them do a comprehensive unit-based safety program training that was online trainings and conference calls to try and get the specific protocol and checklist that they needed to follow to reduce the infections in the infants. And the state clinical leadership was guided and facilitated the work of the Florida NICU centers. And I have here the information for Dr. Douglas E. Hardy, as he's the main person that you can contact for further information on the project. And he is currently a clinical director at the NICU in Winnie Palmer Hospital, which is a hospital within Florida. So as I mentioned, Florida alone has contributed over a quarter of the project, of the data to the project, that started in the 19 states and now has expanded to the 13 states, as Florida has contributed a lot of the infections that we've seen in infants that have been in NICU care. So I wanted to show you here some data from where we were, and then I'll finish the presentation where we've gone with the project being implemented. So here you can see the data for the national level and for Florida specifically, and seeing how much Florida is contributing to it. So in terms of the central Lyme days, as I mentioned, it is Lyme that are connected to the babies that do need medication while they're in NICU care. And you can see here that for at the national level of 376,000 approximately, and Florida's contributing to 86,000 of those central Lyme days. And for the central Lyme associated bloodstream infection rates, you can see here it's 2.5 per 1,000 Lyme days, which now has changed to 2.4 as we're including the 9 original states. And Florida's contributing 2.96 per 1,000 Lyme days, which is a lot more than seeing the average at the national level. And you can see for the expected central Lyme associated bloodstream infections, once again, Florida's at 255, and at the national level, it's 945. With expected deaths for Florida being 31 and an increased length of stay of 2,039. And what's most important to show from the slide are the costs that are due because of these infections. So you can see that these costs are coming from what's owed to the insurance company, and if you don't have insurance, and what's due by the hospital to pay to take care of these infants in NICU care. And you can see here alone, just for Florida, it's at like $13.5 million just to try and take care of these infections. And I wanted to just show, these are the costs due to infections per year due to the insurance company or for treating the baby by the hospital. And now, as giving you a background, you can see that it is a public health problem that it needs to be addressed. So teams have come together for the project, and they had to commit into entering data and collecting all their data on a regular basis and taking part in the trainings and conference calls that I mentioned for the CUSP training to try and reduce these rates in the babies. So now I'll go more specifically into the assessment that we did for the project. So we wanted to assess the experience of 15 Florida NICU centers participating in the ENCASI project since they had contributed a lot of the data for the infections of the infants. We wanted to find out how it was as they carried out the project activities, examine the data outcomes, and also see the successes, challenges, and feasibility of expanding to other NICUs, as this is already expanded through 13 states, but we were more focused on Florida and expanding to other hospitals as well. As we try to do this assessment through a survey, we went through IRB exemption for the Quality Improvement Program Evaluation, and it was a 40-item survey administered to each team leader and 15 participating Florida NICUs, and now that number has increased to 16 Florida NICUs, but at last fall we were at 15 that were participating. And we did go through an expert review panel of neonatologists that went through the survey questions and made sure that they were addressing the correct parts of the protocol that they had to follow, and it was based on parameters of the project of what they're supposed to be doing, and then what experience of the implementation they had for the ENCASI project at their facility. And it was the survey questions were pilot tested, and we got feedback from the neonatologists on the burden of completing it, because just alone the project, they're entering data on a daily basis, so we knew that it was going to be something we had to follow up on for them to complete the survey. We tried to do it as easy as possible for them, so the online survey information was compiled using a Qualtrics survey software used, which is similar to SurveyMonkey, something that was easily emailed to them on a survey software platform. And we used that to get the data into an Excel file sheet and do the appropriate descriptive statistics that were calculated for all the variables that we were measuring. So that was sent to each of the team leaders just so that they can complete it related to their specific NICU facility within that hospital. And this is what we found from the project, as it's already been implemented in 13 states, and we had it at 16 facilities in Florida. So for the survey, we did have 15 centers complete it. 10 of the 15 centers, which was about 67%, had a central Lyme quality improvement project in place during the year prior to the ENCASI project. So we wanted to see what their baseline rates were and how it was improved through implementing the ENCASI project. So of those, 80% had seen improvements due to their prior plan prior to the implementation of the ENCASI project. We wanted to find out more details just of how active were the following members of their team in driving their current ENCASI project. And here we had it on a scale of 0 to 5, and we did the numbers that you see here are the averages of what the facilities were explaining. So they said that the nurse was the person who was driving the project the most. And then as you can see here, we wanted family members to be somewhat involved, but they were more focused on their specific infant that was in the NICU center rather than trying to help with the whole entire project as a whole. We also asked them which of the following types of communications did their hospital team use as part of the NCASB project. And here we had the number, they could answer more than one of the forms, and we see here that the most used ones were the face-to-face meetings and the email communication, where even though we provided them a listserv of discussions, they weren't using the listserv that much, but it was still used by three of the hospitals. And then for the web-based meetings and the conference calls, that was probably used more for the trainings that we wanted them to implement from the CUSP part of it. And then we asked them which of the following CUSP elements did their NCASB team build into their work. And these were five elements that they were supposed to do as part of the CUSP project so that they could implement it and see improvement in the reduction of neonatal catheter-associated bloodstream infections. So we see here that out of the 15 hospitals, the most that were done were the basic safety and quality principles and the engaging staff and building a team, then followed by the employment of improvement tools, and then lastly with partnering with senior leadership and learning from events and process data. So as you saw from the last slide, we also wanted to see what was their team's experience with implementing the CUSP training framework. And the thing that stands out to us the most was that there was activity, but not a lot of improvement in terms of partnering with the senior executive, which we saw as a challenge with implementing the NCASB project. And this was a scale that we saw from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement based here out of Boston. We wanted to use the assessment scale for collaboratives as all of these NICU centers are collaborating together to try and reduce the rates. And we wanted to assess the team's progress through the improvement project. So as they had to enter the data daily just to find out what the reductions were and make sure that they were following the checklist, they did mention that the data entry workload for the NCASB project was heavy for the whole team. And they had mentioned that they agreed with that and strongly agreed, so we knew that that was something that maybe we needed to change as we implemented across other hospitals. But then in terms of the NCASB project workload for the unit team being heavy, they really didn't find that as heavy. They just knew that the data entry was the part that was the most burdensome. And then lastly, even though some of the hospitals did have already an improvement project implemented, we asked what their rate of the progress on the NCASB project was to their hospital or specific unit. And what we found was that they did have outstanding sustainable results, significant improvement, and other hospitals mentioned that they had improved, even though they might have had an improvement project implemented prior to this one. So for the conclusions, we did find benefits in the improvement and successes in lowering the central line associated bloodstream infection rates, and then we learned from and collaborated with other NICUs, so from finding out the information that they were going through, as we implement in other hospitals, we know what changes to make. And then some challenges that they had mentioned was engaging with senior leadership, as well as a heavy data entry workload, which we've kind of addressed already since we had this result in the fall. So instead of having them enter the data on a daily basis, we have reduced it to now be on a weekly basis. And then also we wanted to see the sustainability of positive results. So now that we have additional hospitals in more states, we wanted to make sure that we're implementing and making improvements. So that change in data burden has been changed to now be at a weekly basis. And then implications that we see, we wanted to future implement in further states. As of right now, it's implemented only in 13 states in the U.S. We wanted to simplify the data collection, and now it is on a weekly audit instead of a daily maintenance form. And we wanted to make the CUSP process less confusing. This was made through web seminars and conference calls, and they weren't implementing all of the five elements, so we knew that there was an issue with that. So now we're trying to make it simplified to make sure that all five elements are done at the same rate. And then lastly, we wanted to see improvements implemented throughout the state of Florida since they were contributing most of the data for the central line infections and now implemented to the different states as well. And this was the last slide that I wanted to show since this is the improvement that we've seen since the NCASB project has been implemented. So now instead of them just entering data voluntarily through the national network, they're now doing it as a protocol and a checklist that they're following. They're entering this data on a weekly basis, and now we've seen that the central lines days have reduced at a national level as well as in Florida, and we see that the central line associated bloodstream infections that have been avoided have been 150 for Florida as well as 625 at the national level. The deaths avoided have been 77 babies at a national level and 18 babies in Florida, and then also we've reduced the length of stay for the babies within the NICU center by about 1,200 days in Florida. And then the most important one was the saving on the cost of savings that we've had since the implementation of the NCASB project. So now the money that was being spent to try and pay the insurance or the hospital stay has now been reduced, and now we can see that it's about $7.9 million reduced for Florida and $33.1 million for the national level. Thank you. Now, if you have any questions, please let me know. I have my email on there, and I wanted to acknowledge also that partial support for carrying out the project was provided by the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration as well as the Health Management Association. Thank you.
All right, we have a couple minutes for questions.
I commend you on the work.
Thank you.
It's difficult to implement these QI programs at scale. And specifically the fact that you did the cost savings piece, because I think it's really good when you're advocating for further implementation. I had a question though. Did you have a look at where you had differences between sustainable outstanding improvement and just moderate improvement? Was there any ability to look at whether that was correlating with senior level engagement and champions, safety champions?
Right. We saw that for the safety champions that the nurse was the person that was the most involved, and we saw the family member was barely involved. We wanted to follow up with further interviews with the team leaders that participated in the survey to get more details, open-ended questions about why specifically they chose the outstanding result rather than just sustainable improvement. We haven't followed up, but we're currently we're trying to follow up with that project. And also, this was only focused in Florida, so trying to see what specifically it was there to try and do the survey as well at a national level. But we haven't found out yet specifically, but it probably was that we saw that they did have difficulty getting that senior leadership person involved, and it might be that that's contributing to them not having that most outstanding results from the NCASB project.
One quick other question. Yeah. When you did your cost savings, did you include the costs involved in actually implementing the project?
No, this was seen right now for the nine states that did it at the original level. The ones that were only entering the data voluntarily into that national network. So we haven't seen exactly what the project has reduced. They're just continuing to enter the data. So it would be nice to separate it and see it that way. The first numbers, the table that was created, those are estimated. And they're coming from a specific website that I can let you know. I had it there on the slide, and it's also in the handout that was posted online. These are all at estimated rates of what has been voluntarily entered. So they might be missing data from hospitals that weren't entering any data voluntarily prior to the NCASB project being implemented. And then in terms of the assessment that we did, we weren't following up to see about breastfeeding or anything like that. It was more of the checklist and the protocol that was being followed by the NICU staff while the baby had a central line. Yes. The numbers we're showing at the national level of what's been implemented by the 13 states that are part of the NCASB project, and then it was comparing more specifically to Florida as we did the survey just for the 15 hospitals that are based in Florida.